Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday to you all. This is Trouble with the Snap Podcast with Tyler Hayward. I'm Jay File. We got a lot to cover today. Feeling peachy in Michigan, yes. We're not going to talk about the impeachment of our wonderful president, but we're going to talk about something positive, and that is Michigan State basketball and Michigan basketball. A lot to cover today. Sorry about the audio yesterday. Blog Talk Radio was really awesome. But Tyler's with me. Let's talk Michigan State basketball. Why don't we? A lot of things were being said. Obviously, a 77-72 victory over Northwestern. Obviously, there was not great play all the time, but it's a win. And shockingly, in this Big Ten Conference, it's the first team that's won a road game. So, Tyler, let's jump into it. I mean, at this point, Michigan State's at the top, hasn't even played well, and has a lot to look forward to still.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's kind of ironic, kind of fitting, rather, that the first road win was against the, you know, projected runaway favorite for the Big Ten this season, and then the projected, bottom feeder for the Big Ten. So, you kind of knew it was coming, even though Michigan State didn't play well. But they didn't play well in stretches. There are some other stretches, especially if you look at something like the beginning of the game, where they looked as, you know, as good as advertised, you know, back in October when people started talking about them. And so it's been just a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type situation, and it's been that way with a couple of players as well. And obviously, you know, when you lose a consistent offensive threat, and I'm not even talking about the fact that Michigan State was just announced that Joshua Langford's out for the entire season. I'm talking about Aaron Henry. Whatever his deal is, he's obviously going to need to play better for this team to win, because right now the big three that Michigan State was kind of advertising a little bit, they never really used those terms, but it's been more like the big two. And Gabe Brown is really close to being that third person, but he's not quite there yet. But that game was, I mean, look, I think it showed resilience of this Michigan State team. You know, a lot of the talk during the game was, oh, Northwestern has the youngest team in the country. Northwestern has the youngest team in the country. Like, if you take Kyle Lawrence, who's about, I don't know, 35 off of Michigan State's team, they're pretty young as well. Blankford's not going to play, so I'm not even counting that eligibility. Cassius Winston and Kyle Lawrence are the only seniors, really, that Michigan State's going to end up losing this offseason. So it's a young team there, too. And I think that I think that they've shown resiliency in stretches where teams normally that young fold. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with the fact that you do have a senior point guard who, I mean, you know, just showed the other night, you know, why he's the best point guard in the country.
No, I think what when I hear the Michigan State's young, you really have to look at it, because you say, okay, yeah, Aaron Henry is only a sophomore, and Gabe Brown is only a sophomore, Bingham only a sophomore. There's guys that need to step up that are young, but you have a lot of experience still there. And obviously with Cassius Winston, I mean, you have a four-year point guard, you know, starting most of his career, if not all of it. I mean, I'd have to look back. I think most of his career, sophomore year.
Tom was starting, sure. And then it was offense, defense, swap, more or less as a sophomore.
Sure. So you got a lot of experience with Tillman and him. I think every team needs to have that third guy, and right now you're absolutely correct. Aaron Henry's just not playing very well. I mean, you look at Michigan down the road, they have three guys who all have played pretty well this year with Xavier Simpson, Isaiah Livers, and Teskey inside. I mean, those are three guys you can depend on. You got to have that in this conference to win. So Aaron Henry, of course, yes, has to play well, but I think they have a lot of pieces that are stepping up. Like you said, Gabe Brown, I think they have a lot of depth. It's just one of those teams where we've talked about it so many times, Tyler. When Cassius Winston is not in the game, it's just not a great team. I mean, and that says a lot about Cassius Winston, how great he is. When he's not on the floor, they don't look that good. I mean, that's That's not something where people can make the excuse, well, if Michigan State didn't have Cassius Winston, they wouldn't be as good. Well, they do have him. So that's not an argument there. They have one of the best, if not best, point guard in the country, and they're going to have to ride that. I mean, they rode it last year, and it worked out well for them. They're going to have to do the same. But I think eventually, if you want to take that next step, if you want to win the conference again, because it's tougher this year, and you want to get to the Final Four again, you're going to need more than just Cassius Winston making plays for you. We've talked about it so many times now, Tyler. I'm getting almost tired of it, but they need another ball handler. They need another guy who could step up. And we always bring up Mark Rocket Watson. It's because he is that guy. He's that guy that can handle it. He can create plays. He hasn't shown it much yet, but he is capable of. But talk about that, because I think the injury thing can really hurt a team, and they still do need Rocket Watts.
Yeah, I mean, the Langford thing just solidifies the need for Watts to step up. Obviously, Henry needs to step up because he's just in another world right now. You can tell he's heard his buzz, and then he's also seen his results, and now he looks like he's overthinking everything. And it's very unfortunate, and it's kind of a similar situation that, you know, you and I have talked about with Brian LaWorth. You know, one bad thing goes wrong, and then all of a sudden it's downhill. But if you look at the end of the Northwestern game, obviously it slowed down a lot with free throws and that type of garbage. You look at the end of that game, though, Aaron Henry made a couple of really good plays. And that was when they were playing the pace. He didn't have time to think about it. He knocked down a three. He dumped it underneath. I think Tillman had the reverse on that one. I'm not 100% sure who the recipient of the pass was. But he had a nice pass while he was trying to post up. He does well when he doesn't have to think about it. The problem is the ball is in his hands so much now because he was expected to be that third guy and second perimeter guy, and he is thinking about it. And that's an issue, and that's something that he needs to mentally work past. It's kind of weird. The phrase that I've been using is he is really good at basketball. He's got all of the skills. He's got everything you need. His shot's a lot better than people realize. He's obviously a slasher. He's a phenomenal passer. Really underrated in that area. So he's really good at basketball, but he's not a good basketball player. He does not know how to play the game, how to let the game come to him. He's got all the tools to make it work, and I think that I think it's there, and maybe the return of Watts, which should be happening soon. Obviously, when you hear stress injury and you look at Langford, you don't want Michigan State to rush Watts back by any stretch of the imagination, even if you have to sit out, you know, the next two Big Ten games against the Illinois team that likes the pressure and then Michigan. But you don't want to rush him back, and you want to make sure he's healthy. And I think that that's going to maybe relieve some of that pressure off of Aaron Henry.
I think you're right. I think you're definitely right on that. I think this is what it comes down to, you know, in basketball. When you have a guy who can control everything like Cassius Winston, you know that's your ticket. And if you watch Michigan State the last few years, most of their stuff is predicated on ball screen action with Cassius Winston. What you noticed in the Northwestern game was when the basketball was not in his hands, even bringing it up was a problem. And that's when, you know, even Tom Izzo said, 24 turnovers is just an absolute joke. And it was. They were unforced. And he also said against a team that didn't press. So there's issues there with ball handling. Aaron Henry is a very good passer at times when he gets to the paint. But as far as creating up top, bringing the basketball up, he's a struggle. He's an absolute struggle. And that's just not going to work. That's not going to work for your basketball team and your program. You've got to have guys that are going to be able to handle the ball and make plays. And right now they just don't have that without Cassius. I mean, it's right there in front of us. We've got to be able to notice that. But what's the next step, Tyler? I mean, what do you do to make up for that when you don't have another ball handler?
Well, obviously you play Cassius Winston 40 minutes a game. I think that solves your problem. So, like I said, you've got to have Watts back. Watts is not your ball handler. He's not the guy you want as your backup point guard. Obviously, Lawyer's just, I mean, he's a very skilled player. He just physically is not caught up to Big Ten play yet. But right now, it's, you can have Watts bring the ball up the floor, relieve some of that pressure off of Winston, try to, you know, take some of the pressure off of him, try to conserve some of his energy in that aspect. Play Watts at point. You can run Winston off the ball. As long as Winston's the first guy to touch it so he can orchestrate whatever happens next, I think you're in good shape in that aspect. But it all hinges on when Watts fully returns. You know, Tom Izzo said after the game that there's about a 10% chance, I believe it is, of Watts returning for the Eastern Michigan game. So he's going to be back soon, because the next game after that is 8 days later against your school, Western Michigan. And so once he returns, I think that's going to help a lot, even though we've kind of – okay, you and I on this show have dogged Watts a lot in regards to his play, but – he is a ball handler. He's a very capable athlete. And who knows if the injury's been as big of a hindrance as Tom Izzo says it is. We could be looking at a completely different player that returns, and one who, you know, maybe you can trust in that backup point guard role.
Yeah, no, I still think – I really wish Foster Lawyer turned into something a little more right now. I think he still will be a good player. I mean, I know the free press comes down on him pretty hard. I mean, him being a local kid in this area, and a lot of the – it's not been positive about Foster Lawyer. I almost feel bad for him in a way, but he's caught up in a position where he's supposed to come in and be a game manager. They actually need him to make more plays, but he's just not quick enough right now and explosive enough to get by guys. He's a great shooter. And he also – you know, we talked about it yesterday, Tyler – you know, he was, you know, clutch at the end of the game, you know, with free throws hit four straight. They needed that. So, I mean, that's a huge part of being a point guard.
I mean, he stepped in and hit that three-pointer, too, with the shot clock expiring.
Sure.
That ended up being really big at the end of the game.
Well, I mean, if you look at his 7 points, I think that's what he had. I mean, hey, they win by five. That matters. So, you know, his shooting is very crucial and very important. You know, he's a part of this thing. And I laugh because, you know, people want to rip him, and he's getting quite a bit of negative feedback, and that's going to come with the territory. When you're Mr. Basketball of the state, people are going to say things. That's just kind of how it goes. But he's a key claw, you know, cog in this thing, and we'll just see how that development goes. He's young, too. So when Tyler says, hey, this is a young team, people are like, yeah, right, look, they got Xavier Tillman. They've got Cassius Winston. No, this is the other guys who are young who are going to have to step up. So he is a young guy, too, a second-year player who's going to get better. Let's jump into Michigan, obviously. Michigan, 8-3, tough loss to Oregon. I think the biggest news that it keeps coming on Michigan basketball is recruiting, which I think is just vital. And I want to touch on recruiting a little bit with even football and basketball today before the show's over. But, you know, Hunter Dickinson, a 4- or 5-star kid, signs today. Or I think he actually committed, which is scary nowadays with these kids. You know that, Tyler. But another big key, you know, another piece, that's another 4- or 5-star kid. Michigan is continuing to make up ground on the recruiting trail and right away with Juwan Howard. But I think we knew that, but let's not dive into too much of that yet. Let's talk about just this season. I think it's still surprising, Tyler. I mean, I think that, you know, when you beat Gonzaga in North Carolina is not very good, though. But Gonzaga, though, I think that's a big win. I think when you beat them, that's a meaningful win with what they had. But talk about what you think with Michigan basketball, because, I mean, there was just so much I don't know if it's negativity, the word, but I think it was just not intrigued by this team this year. They're intriguing this year. So Tyler was dropped for a minute, so I got Tyler back on. So, yeah, just talk Michigan basketball, Tyler. Sorry, a little pause there, but what do you think so far this year?
Well, overall, in regards to recruiting, obviously, that was what we were talking about before my call dropped. Well, it's Ron Howard's doing big things. He's doing what he's expected to do. He's, you know, getting the talented kids that maybe D-line couldn't. Now, obviously, the developmental phase and how they're used is the question mark that we had. I mean, I don't think we really had a question about whether or not he'd be able to recruit the kids. The name alone, the brand of Michigan basketball is still strong. And so I think that, I mean, I don't think we were really questioning what he'd be able to bring in. In regards to Michigan this season, I think they're better than what I expected. At the same time, they're not as good as everybody else thinks. I feel like it's one of those situations where you go back and you really dissect their wins now. You know, we made a big deal about the North Carolina and Gonzaga wins. They're really okay with time. North Carolina, though, now they don't look as good as everyone kind of thought they were. Gonzaga, that was the third day of a three-day tournament, and Gonzaga typically runs about only seven people deep. And so you ended up playing against an exhausted Gonzaga team. You lost at home to Oregon. They're still a top 20 team, but that massive rise before, I think, was a little bit premature. I think we're starting to understand what they are now, where Michigan State, you don't know if number 11 is going to end up playing like everybody knows that he's capable of because everybody watched him last season. Michigan, you're starting to see what they are right now. You're starting to see them round into form. This is a top 20 team. They can obviously make a run in March. I always, you know, I'm of the believer if you have a great point guard, you're going to be just fine when March rolls around. And obviously, I think Michigan's got, it's weird, they've got the third best point guard in the Big Ten for my money right now. But
yeah,
I wouldn't say, but I would also say, you know, he might be a top five point guard in the country. I mean, I think that's how good the Big Ten is. And I think that, maybe top seven point guards. But, you know, you're starting to understand what they are a little bit more. They're not going to obviously win games like they did under Beilein. You know, you're not going to have Duncan Robinson sitting in the corner, Jordan Poole sitting in the corner and just chucking threes and burying them. By the way, Duncan Robinson's doing a great job in the NBA this season. But
oh, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're starting to see what they are. You're starting to see how they're going to win games. You're starting to see how they're going to attack. They've not had that one consistent piece, like I said. They don't have that one score, but you're getting guys stepping up at different times. And they have the talent to do that. The problem is there's not a lot in regards to star power on this team. And so you don't have that Cassius Winston that can take over a game. At the same time, you've got a little bit more than what Michigan State has in regards to, okay, is it going to be Henry or Brown going to be our next guy or Tillman or whatever. With Michigan, you can go with DeJulius. You can go with Tennessee. John may eventually be that guy. And, I mean, we saw him playing late in the Oregon game and over Tennessee. So, you have Eli Brooks, obviously, is there. Like, you have a lot more options to go to in regards to where you're going to get your points from. It's just a problem of whether or not they can do it consistently, which was our, you know, our number one question coming into this season. And I don't think they can, but that doesn't mean you can't stop people on the defensive end, and that doesn't mean you're not a good basketball team still. And I think Michigan's starting to round out into form, and, you know, they're going to consistently be a top, I'm going to say, 20 to 15 team.
No, there's no question. I think a lot of people have a lot to say. This is what the truth of it is. You can't forget that your three best players have a lot of experience. And they mentioned it a lot in the tournament in the Bahamas, how much experience they have coming back with those three. That is Simpson, Livers, Teske. These are guys that have played meaningful games. I mean, I'm watching a game, Tyler, 2 years ago in the Big Ten tournament against Michigan State. You know, Livers and Simpson are a huge part of that. They're starters. You look at Teske coming off the bench, played great in that Big Ten tournament his sophomore season. Those are three guys that you can depend on. It all comes down to the other guys. The other guys are David DeJulius, who's playing really, really well. Brandon Johns is starting to do a little bit better. I'm not sold yet, but I think he's improved, and that Oregon game could be a huge confidence builder. The thing that people don't realize is they have two losses against two teams that could possibly make the Final Four. Because Oregon, once they get the big kid, is going to be really, really good. And people might want to say that that's not true. They don't know basketball. Oregon was really good last year. They got a point guard like Peyton Pritchard who is just fantastic. I mean, he could be put in that top five point guard in the country. He's maybe top three at times. I mean, the guy can flat out play, and he's been doing it for a long time. Nobody knows.
That's kind of why I bumped Simpson to seven, was watching what Pritchard did to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a prime example of, you know, Michigan didn't lose by one at home to a bunch of bums or a bunch of scrubs. They lost to a team who's very capable of making the Final Four. They lost on the road to a team like Louisville, who could definitely make the Final Four, a very experienced team. Their one loss on the road to Illinois might not even end up being that bad because Illinois is actually a pretty solid team who has a great coach. My point is this. Michigan, absolutely agree with you, Tyler. That's a top 20 team. That's a Sweet 16 team if they just play good. I mean, they could get to the Sweet 16 no problem this year. I think it's definitely a team that should.
And let me just say this. And even then at that point, you know, if Eli Brooks, for whatever reason, can get really hot and drop 16, 18 points or whatever in the Sweet 16 game, you know, you're looking at you're looking at a Spike Albrecht situation where you might get that unexpected contribution that can carry you past the game.
Yeah, and I don't expect it, but, you know, you're right. It could happen. And then basketball is a funny game. You know, a couple of guys get hot and things get different. But they got the core three, and that's what you got to have in college basketball now. You got to have experience also, which they do have. And Juwan Howard's doing a fantastic job recruiting. I mean, they're going to have young kids coming in who are better than what they're used to having. Zeb Jackson's an absolute star point guard, could probably play the two as well. You know, plays for Mount Verde, who's the number one team in the country right now. You know, and if Isaiah Todd signs, I mean, look out, because that kid is an absolute star. And he's a one-and-done kid. And then you get, you know, Dickinson like this, you know, a 7'2" big guy who plays for DeMatha, who, you know, plays for AAU Team Takeover, who's fantastic. I mean, this is a guy that's coming in that is really, really good. And he almost is like a Teskey right away that you get next year when you lose him. So the pieces are falling in place. I mean, you're going to lose Simpson, but you get Zeb Jackson, who is a better shooter. I mean, Michigan basketball, if you're a Michigan fan, put the football talk on hold for a little while, because I think you should be taking a little more notice on this basketball program, because Juwan Howard is moving at a rapid rate. And if they get one more guy, Tyler, who's a four-star, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now you're talking about a team who already has freshmen coming in who can contribute and be big time. It's exciting for Michigan basketball. It is. But let's stay on recruiting, though. I mean, you know, let's end with football. I mean, I know there's just been a bunch of talk, and you know, I've been diving more into football recruiting. And I'm just going to say this before we jump into Michigan and Michigan State. Ohio State has exactly what you need if you want to win in the Big Ten and dominate. All their skilled guys come from the South. You get Texas kids. You get Georgia kids. Then you get a kid like Chris Olave, a speedster from the West Coast, from, you know, Southern California. You can't compete against that. So Michigan says, okay, we're going to try to get these little hubs. We're going to go to New Jersey. We're going to try to get some kids from Maryland. We got a little connection here on the East Coast. It's so hard to catch up to Ohio State. You're not going to catch them. My concern for Michigan is, because those are your expectations, how in the world do you catch them? I don't know what the answer is, Tyler. On Michigan State's end, I worry that I think that recruiting is something that they're not taking enough initiative on, and you've mentioned that. They need to spend more money. Mark D'Antonio made a statement that I just cringed when he said, I don't look at the stars. Boy, you better, Mark. You better look, because guess what? The four teams in the college football playoff all were in the top five in recruiting. It's just that important now, and the game's changed where – this is up-tempo football. Football's changed, man. You got to score points. If you don't score points now, I mean, let's just look at it. Michigan's offense was great against Ohio State in the first half. It couldn't stop them. It couldn't stop J.K. Dobbins, a Texas kid. It can't stop Garrett Wilson, a freshman from Lake Travis, Austin, Texas, that I'm very familiar with. This is where we are, Tyler. And it's gotten to the point where you're going to have to pull some things and do something miraculous to compete at that level. But what do you do? I mean, how do you go back to that Michigan State attitude? Well, we'll just develop our three stars or even a two star, and hey, maybe we'll get lucky and get a four star. Or is it like, we got to change this whole thing? This is not going to work.
I think they're doing fine right now. I like some of the kids that they have coming in. You do have a couple guys who can contribute early. Obviously, I'm really hyped up about Darius Snow, Eric Snow's son, Percy Snow's nephew. You have seven early enrollees. You have guys who are willing to develop and play. Tom Izzo mentioned the OKGs, and Mark Antonio's going out and he's getting those OKGs. Like I said, he's got to reestablish himself on the recruiting trail before he can start getting some of those higher class, those higher rated guys. But when you really look at it, look, Michigan State's recruiting class isn't much different than much of their others, with the exception of you're missing that one 4 or 5 star kid that normally, that one guy that normally shows up that just cranks up the rankings. And so it's not like their class is all that terrible. You know, typically they recruit right around 25 to the low 30s, and right now they're at 38 in the country. The problem is other Big Ten teams jumped them, so when you look at Big Ten recruiting, you know, the numbers are skewed a little bit. I don't think that this team's going to turn around and put Michigan State in the playoffs. Like you said, you do need to get those five-star guys, but if you can't get those, you need to start building towards that. Mark Antonio's trying to reestablish himself after 2016, and he's doing it by getting the OKGs, and I think it's going to work out just fine, pending how long Mark Antonio is there, obviously. I'm not saying he's going to retire or he's going to get fired soon. I'm just saying he's a little up there in age, so we don't know what exactly is going to happen. But as long as he's doing what he did to make himself successful, obviously he needs to update. He's updated the offense. He needs to update the defense a little bit more now and recruit the talent to go with that offense. Because that's the thing. You look at a guy like Theo Day, who's behind Rocky Lombardi on the depth chart at quarterback. He's not exactly built to run those option offenses. So,
yeah. I think Michigan State needs to run their program like Wisconsin, Tyler. I mean, I think this is what you're going to get, and this is why the problem.
You've got to update the offense.
Well, here's the problem, though. People don't understand it. This is the problem, Tyler, and no one understands this, but we should, because, you know, we read stuff all day long, and we watch sports, and we are into this thing. We know what people are saying about the program. We know what the fan base is like. We know that. That's the problem, though. Nowadays, this isn't like the 90s, where Lloyd Carr was God, and he went 9-3 a lot of the time. But he beat Ohio State here and there, and all that was just great. This is Jim Harbaugh, you're the NFL guru, you're making XYZ millions of dollars, you got rap songs out, you got this recruit coming in, why aren't you winning national championships? That's the thought process of these goofballs in this state. They don't realize that, well, you're competing against Alabama, LSU, Clemson, who are getting the top kids in the South, who are just much better football players than most of the kids that we can get. Let's just be honest. In reverse, in basketball, the Midwest is better. Midwest is fantastic. That's why the Big Ten's so darn good. You're getting so many good Midwest basketball players, and then you trickle in a few Southern kids or West Coast kids or East Coast kids. But the Midwest is powerful in basketball. It's not the same like that in football. The South is still the king. Michigan State fans need to realize you cannot be at the top when you have to compete against the Ohio States, who recruit that well. But if you get those low kids and you go 8-4, 7-5, 9-3, and then that third, fourth year, you have a great team, a great season. And I think that's where they need to have the mindset. Like, it's okay if we struggle a few years, like this year. They didn't look that good. Maybe some of those young freshmen who got all that playing time, next year and the year after and then their senior year, they're going to be fantastic. That's got to be the attitude.
You look at Nick Samick and Vader Duplain, the center and left guard. Devontae Dobbs is obviously going to play, and then Kevin Jarvis is coming back next season. Like, now all of a sudden your offensive line looks like it might be a year away from being one of the better offensive lines in college football.
Well, there's no question. I mean, look at Michigan's offensive line, how much improved it was. Remember 2 years ago, you know, we just said, oh, my gosh, that offensive line is atrocious. They can't block. They can't protect anyone. The quarterback stinks. I mean, there was so much negative talk about the line 2 years ago. You bring in a new coach, which, Michigan State needs to do also. You bring in a new coach. You have young kids getting better. And then things change. But, look, for Michigan side recruiting, I mean, whatever, good luck, because the fan base is outrageous. They just seem to think that they can win national titles and win the Big Ten every year. No, winning 10 games every year for Jim Harbaugh is actually outstanding. And with what they have, they just got to find a way to get a big, big win, something that Mark D'Antonio has done at Michigan State. Jim Harbaugh hasn't had a signature win yet. And I'm going to say this. This could be a knock on a lot of coaches, but I really don't care. If you've been somewhere for 2 years and you haven't had a signature win yet, that's a problem. That's a cause for concern. So Jim Harbaugh hasn't had that signature win yet. Let's just be honest, guys. It hasn't happened. And if you're not going to do that, I mean, after 5 years, that's why the fan base is upset. But as far as them winning games, they've won a lot of games. Jim Harbaugh's done a good job. They've recruited very, very well. They've been highly ranked in recruiting. They're just not at Ohio State's level. I mean, that's basically where we are. And we just have to be okay with it. I know that sucks to say, but hey, maybe we get an upset win over Ohio State one of these years, and then it's just cherry on top of the pie, right? But hey, thanks for tuning in again. Troubled Snap Podcast with Tyler Hayward. I am J.A. File. We're going to talk more basketball. We got a game this weekend to talk about. Michigan and Michigan State both play. Looking forward to touching on that Sunday. Hey, happy holidays. We'll be back on, though. And thanks again for listening to the Troubled Snap Podcast.